you get to your scripture, I want you to turn to 1 Kings, actually chapters 18 and 19. We're actually going to spend more time in 19 today, and also Ephesians chapter 6. And as you see, the title up there is Fight for Your Purpose. Look at somebody and say, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. And I'm going to teach a little bit today about spiritual warfare. Is that okay? We are in a spiritual war, if you don't know that. And the war has already been won. Jesus defeated the enemy at the cross and at the resurrection. We know that, but we have to appropriate that by faith, that victory in the earth. And we have to pray God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're here on the earth. And the Bible says that the god of this world is the enemy, is the devil. But we have to appropriate by faith the victory that's already been won at the cross onto the earth, in our marriages, in our families, in our businesses, at work, wherever we're at in life, in our church, everywhere. And so I'm wanting to, you know, I even actually hesitated on teaching this today, because I really felt like maybe Lord, this is just for me and the leadership in our church, because I shared this I think it was Monday, that I sent to some leaders in our church to be praying for me about this word today. And I appreciate those prayers, because I can definitely feel them this morning. But I'm going to, if you're, and I know if you're here today, you call, I can tell, look, survey in the room, that you call Harvest Fellowship Church your home church. How many of you, this is your home church? You better raise your hands. I'm just kidding. Make the pastor feel good this morning. But, you know, when you're when God called us here 18 years ago, and we've been through lots of different changes in a church. You know, we met in our garage, we met uptown, now we're out here, and there has been battle after battle after battle to get to where we are today. And so, but there's a future that God has for us, and it's something I have been contemplating, praying about, thinking about for quite a while now. Like, God, you know, I feel like we've been through a lot of life cycles in our church history, and who we, and a church is not just this building. The church is us as a people, right? Everybody understand that? And so here we are positioned for the future today. And I know in my life, the last 4 or 5 months have been some intense battles in my life. How many of you ever, am I talking to some people here? Okay. Some intense battles going on. And I want to teach you about spiritual warfare today. And some of this may be new to you. I understand whenever I started learning about, hey, I got saved, but we are still in a war, you know, and I was learning this. And I don't want to teach this to scare anybody. This is not a scary thing. We've already won. Look at somebody and say, we've already won. So it's not a scary thing. You are in warfare. If you've been experiencing these intense battles, you are in warfare because you are a winner. So look at somebody and say, you're a winner. You've already won this deal. And what I have learned about the enemy and his schemes and strategies is that he actually stalks greatness. He stalks it out. You can look at that all through Scripture. I mean, it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, David, Elijah. Elijah's one that we're going to look at today, Esther. It's all through the Bible. And I believe, and I'm talking, this word is for us individually. It's a word for us as a church. I also believe this is a word for the body of Christ today, because the enemy has just released, he is releasing hell and the onslaught of fear to stop the church of Jesus Christ from moving forward in the land, is what he's doing. And there's, God's calling people out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's even calling pastors and leaders and people in the church out of the lethargic that they're in, the spiritual apathy that they're in, to pursue more of him, to pursue more of God. And so what's happening is people are crossing over from the land of comfort to the land of courage. And everybody said amen. But I want to share this with you because I want you to understand I always want to be balanced in my teachings. I am not a guy that thinks that there's a devil behind every bush. Okay? I'm not. But I also know that when one shows up, I have the authority in the name of Jesus to tell it to go. So I want to teach that, and that's the balance that I want to teach. I don't run around thinking, and I don't want to glorify the enemy in any way because he's already been defeated. I see a lot of Christians that do that. You know, every day they're on social media. Well, the devil's beating me from pillar to post. Well, you know, if you keep saying that, that's all that's going to happen in your life. You need to get a mindset of victory, and that's where I want that mindset to be in us when I'm teaching this. But we have to be aware of the enemy's schemes and his strategies. And you know, as I was preparing this message, I began to think about when God called me to start this church. And some of you have heard this story, so bear with me because I'm going to share it again, okay? And some of you haven't. But I had just shared at a men's prayer breakfast one morning in Radon, Oklahoma, at an Assembly of God church. And I was leaving there, traveling down Highway 47 back to Cheyenne. And I was in my 1993 sky blue Ford Tempo. Never forget it. And I was just driving, and I shared with just about there at this men's prayer breakfast. There was like three old men there, you know. And I'm talking old, and I'm looking around at some older guys in here. They were older than you guys. And I was like, man, and they didn't have any facial expressions whatsoever. They were just there for the coffee and the pancakes. And I left there going, Lord, did I do anything to benefit anybody with those three older? I mean, it was just, you know, thanks for coming, Mark, you know. And I remember I even talked about Gideon out of Judges. And so anyway, I'm driving down the road, and that's my prayer. That was my prayer, like, Lord, what was that? Why did I get up early for that? You know, I was just having all those kind of thoughts, and did they get anything out of that? Did it come across okay? And I'm just having all these thoughts, and I'd already knew that God had called me into the ministry. I just didn't know into what. And about that time, I had something happen to me that this is the only time that it's happened in my life so far. I'm not going to say that God can't do it again, but I had what they call an open vision, and I saw a church growing at a phenomenal rate of speed, yet it was decreasing at the same time. It was like people coming in and people leaving, people coming in, people leaving. And I heard something, not audibly, but in my spirit, I heard the voice of the Lord say, give and it shall be given. I was like, okay, I don't know what that means. And that was it. But then I knew that God had, at that moment, he never did say it, but I just, in my knower, I knew that God said, I'm calling you to plant a church somewhere, you know. And this was in 1996, June of 1996. And it wasn't until 2000, 4 years later, that we planted the church here in Leedy, my hometown. And but I can remember I was like, and then after this happened, this experience happened, I was just like, wow, Lord, that was awesome. You know, I felt him come in and sit right next to me in the seat. I mean, I didn't see him or anything like that, but just this overwhelming presence of God in my car. And I get home, and Jada's like doing dishes or something at the house, and this is when we lived in Elk City. And I just came in and sat on the kitchen table. Sat at the kitchen table and said, honey, I got to tell you what happened to me. And I told her, and she's standing at the sink, and she just begins to weep and cry. I mean, the presence of God, I'm just saying the presence, she wasn't crying because she was hearing my voice. She was crying because it was the presence of God was that strong. And I was just like, wow, I've just never experienced anything like this. And so we began to pray then about where God, and most of you know the rest of the story. I mean, God began to send us down here to church at Camargo, and we was filling in every other week, and then God said, Leedy. And so that's the whole story. But over the past few months, I have been saying, God, what, you know, I've been fighting for my purpose. I'll be honest with you. I've had this spiritual warfare going on for the last 4 or 5 months. It's even manifested in my life physically, in my health, and different things. I talked to another pastor, Pastor Cody Anderson up in Meno, Oklahoma, has been going through the same same kind of things. And he began to share with me what him and his church are doing. And he mentioned something out of Scripture of what we're battling. And I began to study that, studied out. And I said, oh my gosh, that's exactly what's going on in my life. That's what's going on in our church and our ministry. I see it happening in people's lives in our church. And so I want to teach you what's going on so that you're aware, because you know you have to be aware of what the enemy's doing, amen, so you can defeat him. And so I'm not teaching this to scare anybody. I'm teaching this to bring revelation is what I'm trying to do, and that we have the victory in the name of Jesus. And so what it is, and we're going to look at this in 1 Kings 18 and 19, is what the Bible says. They give it a name. It actually was in a person. Let me explain. It's the Jezebel spirit is what it is. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Jezebel spirit is not. Okay. The Jezebel spirit is not a strong-willed woman. In fact, if you're a strong-willed woman, praise God. It means you got your thinking cap on. You got a mind of your own. Amen. And so all the women in here that are strong-willed and have a mind of your own, say amen. All right, so guys, don't even go there. A strong-willed woman is not a Jezebel. They've been labeled that for a long time. That's not what the Jezebel spirit is. But in 1 Kings 18 and 19, the reason why the gender, female gender, often gets this, the Jezebel, because a Jezebel spirit can operate through a woman or it can operate through a man. It can operate even through a church. It can operate through a business. It can operate through political powers. It can operate through a nation. This is a big deal. But it's a spirit which is personified by a woman in Scripture in 1 Kings 18 and 19. So that's why usually the female, well, she's a Jezebel, you know, just because she has an opinion. She's not a Jezebel. She's just a strong-willed woman that God made, and she may be your spouse. Amen. I'm glad my wife's in the nursery today. She'll be getting this message later, though. But so this is where this story's at in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. And I encourage you, because I'm not going to be able to read all those scriptures today, but I want you to go home and study 1 Kings 18 and 19. And that gives the story of Elijah and when he ran into Jezebel. But I am going to give you, and if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin there, I am going to give you four signs that you're under the influence of the spirit of Jezebel. So 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I'm going to tell you what we have to do to defeat that. But and I had to start realizing after I studied this that this spirit has been influencing me, and it has been influencing me for quite some time. But it's also been influencing the ministry in our church. I can see that it's been influencing people in the church as well and in the body of Christ at large, because it wants to keep you at bay. Wants just to keep you silent. It doesn't care if you're saved. Okay, they're saved and going to heaven, but I just don't want you fulfilling your purpose and destiny in life. And so if it can keep you there, and that's why I entitled this message, Fight for Your Purpose. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, is everybody with me this morning? Yes. All right, now let me go back to this vision that God gave me. I really believe with all of my heart that God called Harvest Fellowship Church, now listen to me, that God called Harvest Fellowship Church to be a revival center. I really believe that. And that was the vision that God gave me of people coming and then people going back out into the harvest. And God was saying, give and it shall be given, because what I see a lot of pastors do, and I have done it myself, we want everybody to stay here. Stay. And God's saying, they may be sent out into the harvest somewhere else, some other state, some other location, wherever. And so God was just saying, be free, let me work the doors, give and it shall be given. And I really believe that God is wanting to pour out his spirit upon this church, upon us as a people group, that presence that's so strong that it's going to call people from the other side of the planet to come to Harvest Fellowship Church in Leedy to experience that presence. And I'm not saying that we're the only one. I believe God is positioning Cameron's mom and dad in their church over there in Weatherford. I just believe that God is starting to orchestrate some things. God has given them a property that is unbelievable there in Weatherford. Hasn't given it to them. They're paying for it right now, but it got it at a very discounted price. But I just know that God's getting the net ready. I can see his workings of getting the net ready. But what God is wanting us to do as a church is to learn how to steward his presence. And what's been wrong with the revivals of the past is somebody always tries to make it about them. It's about Mark Haney. It's not about me. It's about him. And so what he's calling is humble people, holy people, and hungry people that will steward his presence well. We've got to steward his presence. And because if you get any kind of flesh in there and like poke yourself up, oh, I had something to do with this, he's gone. Because he doesn't want to share, he doesn't share the platform with anybody. The platform is Jesus. It's all about him. And so that's what I really believe that the Lord is wanting to do here and birth here through us as a people. And God is still giving me strategy but I know what it's going to do is come through prayer. And so there are going to be times of corporate prayer, but I encourage you to be praying with me about this, okay, right now. And as time goes on, and it may be a year down, I mean, just over these coming months, I know there's going to be strategy that God lays out for us and what he's wanting us to do. Worship's going to be a part of it. Prayer's going to be a part of it, because all of that brings his presence. And then we're going to learn how to steward his presence well. There's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles happening here, people getting healed, because this is a time for Jesus to come back to the church. And everybody said, amen. All right. But I want to give you four signs of why the enemy is fighting so hard for this not to happen. And here's number one. And you'll see this in let me get there. First of all, let me share one other scripture with you. Everybody, Ephesians 6, verse 12. I need to share this one with you. I know we did a whole study on the armor of God. And Mallory over here, Hawkins, told me that she got so much out of that teaching on the armor of God that she took a senior picture with her Bible open. And I was admiring that picture, and we were talking about it one day at youth. I can't remember, at church or something. And she said, Pastor Mark, you know what passage of scripture I had my Bible open to when I took that picture? And I said, Ephesians 6. She said, yes, the armor of God. And that was so awesome. So she knows this scripture well. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle, and we have to remind ourselves of this, is not against flesh and blood, but it's not your spouse, it's not your boss, it's not Republicans or the Democrats. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is an unseen realm where there's a war going on. Everybody got that? But we have already won the victory. And everybody said amen. All right. These are four signs that you're under the influence of the spirit of Jezebel. Now, we're not going to read 1 Kings chapter 18, but 1 Kings chapter 18, you have to know this before we get into chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah took on 850 prophets, false prophets of Baal, and he defeated them on Mount Carmel. Huge victory. Everybody say V for victory. Huge victory. Then Jezebel, she says, I'm going to kill you for doing that. Okay, this man just defeated 850 false prophets of Baal. This lady named Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, and he takes off running for his life. So I'm going to show you the four signs that you're under the influence of the spirit of Jezebel. Here's number one, irrational fear and insecurity. I'm talking irrational fears and insecurity. This is in 1 Kings 19, verses 2 and 3. It says, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow, if I do not make your life like that of one of them. And in verse 3 says, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. This great man of God who had a huge victory. So I want you to see that this is an irrational fear and insecurity. And if you're underneath the influence of the spirit, you're going to have irrational fears and insecurities in your life. And that's not of God. God did not, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I was reading a story about a man that was so plagued by the spirit of fear, of irrational fears and insecurities, that he could not, I know this is going to sound crazy, but there's a lot of people that have phobias. And his phobia was he could not drive with the windows up because he felt like he was enclosed. And we were going to laugh. I laughed at it. I chuckled at it. He had to drive no matter what the temperature was outside with the windows down because he was claustrophobic when he had the windows up. Now, I laughed at it when I first read it, but then the Lord began to remind me of some irrational fears that I've had in my life and insecurities that I've had in my life. And that's when you realize that you're under this spirit. And God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And this guy said that one night, he said, I was so plagued by fear that I couldn't even sleep at night. It'd keep me up at night. And he said, and I went and laid down by the radio because he lived up in the mountains somewhere. And they didn't have TV. And he said, I laid down the radio and I was turning for stations, just something, some music to soothe me. And he said, all of a sudden, I came across a preacher that was preaching the Word of God. I could barely hear him through the static. And he said, he said 2 Timothy 1:7, this will show you the power of the Word of God. This guy didn't know the Lord, didn't know the Word, didn't know anything. But this preacher said, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. He said, I heard that word, I received that word, and he said, all I can tell you, it was like, he goes, you know, when you go get x-rays and they put that heavy blanket on your chest, when the x-rays, he said, it felt like one of them heavy blankets was lifted off of me. And he said, and those irrational fears and insecurities went away after he heard that word. That's the power that's in the Word of God. All right, here's number two. Number two is the spirit of suicide. And this is 1 Kings 19:4. It says, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He says, I have had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. So this guy, this great prophet, just defeated 850 false prophets, and now he's praying that he'll die. So this is a spirit of suicide. The spirit of suicide is running rampant today. It's running rampant in the body of Christ. It's running rampant in young people today. And I've had in my ministry, I've had to deal with two suicides, and both of the people knew the Lord. They knew him, but it's a spirit. Nobody, listen to me. Nobody in their right mind takes their own life. Nobody. It's a spirit. Suicide is a spirit because God made every one of us. Self-preservation is one of the most common drivers of creation, and who put that in you was God Almighty. And so the enemy comes to lie, to steal, kill, and destroy. And so it's a spirit. In Matthew chapter 4, when Satan came to tempt Jesus, one of the things that he tempted him with, this will show you that it's a spirit, he said, throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and see if God takes care of you. Okay? Suicide is a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. And sometimes, even the spirit of suicide, even if he can't convince you to take your own life, he'll convince you to just go through life motionless and not fulfill your purpose and your destiny. And he succeeded then too. So I want you to realize that it's a spirit. It's what it is. Nobody in their right mind decides to do that. Okay, here's number three. I know it's getting awful quiet in here, but we need to talk about these things. Amen? The church needs to talk about these things. Number three is confusion. And this is found in 1 Kings 19:9-10. He says, there he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Now, this is a subtle trick of the enemy, and I want to share this with you because I can guarantee you, if you will let the Lord minister this word to you, this happens to every one of us in here. Elijah can't even remember a victory that he had 41 days previous to this, but he can remember all the past history and all the bad times of history of his life and even in his nation, that they killed the prophets, they did this and they did this, God, and they did this, but he can't remember the good thing that just happened 41 days ago. So that you have to train your mind, this is the renewal of the mind, to think about the good things. The Apostle Paul told us to do that in Philippians 4:8. Think about the good things, meditate on them, and give God praise for them. Because if you don't, by default, the enemy's going to come in there and lie to you and get you thinking about all the bad things that happened in history and everything that happened in the nation. And my gosh, you're bringing up stuff that happened before you was even born. Confusion. Or you're blaming your parents, you're blaming your boss, you're blaming the government, you're blaming Republicans and Democrats and all that. And God's saying, what I want the body of Christ to do is take responsibility. What are you doing here? Everybody said, aren't you glad you came to church today? Everybody's sitting there going, my gosh, Pastor Mark, hold the fort. Okay, here's number four. Number four is isolation. This is 1 Kings 19, verse 18. He says, up there in verse 10, Elijah said, I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And so he's having a pity party. And in isolation, and God tells him, says, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. So, you know what? Look at somebody and say, you're not alone. That's what the enemy wants to do is make you feel like you're alone in the battle. Makes you feel like my spouse isn't with me. My family isn't with me. My family isn't for me. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. You're not alone. Let me give you some battle scriptures. I'm going to give you a few battle scriptures. Philippians 1:28 says, be in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Isaiah 54, verse 14, it says, in righteousness you will be established. You'll be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Joshua 1:6, these are some good scriptures to meditate on. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And I want to tell you something. This spirit of Jezebel is a demonic spirit that tries to steal your destiny. It just tries to steal your purpose, and that's why I entitled this Fight for Your Purpose. And if you'll go on to read 1 Kings chapter 19, when God basically tells him to get out of the cave, I got some things for you to do, Elijah. And he tells Elijah, he doesn't say anything about Jezebel. He doesn't say anything about anything else. He just tells Elijah, you have a destiny. You have a purpose. I need you to go anoint Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. Because this is what you need to realize. Your destiny affects other people's destiny. What you're going through affects your kids, your grandkids. It affects your destiny, affects everybody around you, affects your family. And my dad, I was talking to my dad last night, and he said, Mark, are you teaching my faith? And I said, yeah, Dad, I'm going to end on it. Because how you defeat this is you defeat it by faith. By faith, you've got to know that the victory's already been won. And don't let the enemy lie to you and get you in a cave somewhere and start pouring out all these spirits upon you where you have irrational fear, you're wanting to commit suicide, you're wanting to take your own life, you got confusion, and you're isolated. Don't do it. That's when you need to be running to the body of Christ. That's when you need to be running to church and saying, somebody pray for me. Amen. All right, 1 John 5, verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Got to use your faith. Faith is a muscle, and you got to use it. And you've got to know the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Did this help you today? Amen. I pray that it helped you. What I want to do in closing is we're all family here. And if you struggled with any of these areas, I believe there's something to it whenever, because I'm wanting you to activate your faith even here. It's easy to do it here. It's harder to do outside the four walls of the church. So if you've been dealing with any of these things that I have talked about today, about the spirit of Jezebel, I want you to just come up here and stand, and I want to pray a prayer over us today. But I'm going to make you come up here. Because I think that's God's going to make you come up here, not me. Because I think it's an act of faith for you to step up and say, hey, I've been dealing with this, and I need prayer. Amen. I appreciate your obedience. And just because you don't feel like you've been going through this, that's okay. All right? what am I trying to say? Don't try to make yourself feel like I'm in a battle. Okay? Because if you're not in a battle right now, that's good. Look at somebody say, that's good. That's good, because there's times that we're battling, and there's times of peace. And, you know, I want more times of peace than I do of the battling. But I also know that we're in a spiritual war, and that there's battles going on and different things that are going on. These people that come up here in their lives, you know, it could be in a marriage. It could be in finances. It could be at a job. I mean, this spirit tries to affect every arena of your life, so it'll put you at bay and say, you know, yeah, you're a Christian, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but I don't want you fighting for your purpose, you know, and it just kind of lets you go through the motions, and it doesn't matter about all that. It just, that's what it's trying to do, is just keep you at bay. And I started recognizing that in my own life, that, you know, I don't want to say lose the, well, I'll just go ahead and say you lose the fire, you lose the, you know, you just lose the drive, yeah, the passion to fight. Just like all the fight's been taken out of me, God, I can't fight no more. And God's like, you know what? That's when I can do my best work, is when you're finally out of the way. So I finally getting out of the way, amen. But I want to pray this prayer over you guys. So you up here, I want you to, because we're not in this alone, I want you to join hands with the person next to you. And I want to pray this prayer over you. And I'm praying this over all of us today, because like I said, one time somebody said, you're either going into a battle, you're in a battle, or you're coming out of a battle in your walk with the Lord. And that's that. There's a lot of truth to that. Father, I thank you for these people coming up here today. And Lord, they're acknowledging that they have been under the influence of this spirit. And this spirit it's a combination of a whole lot of things. It's an issue of spirits. And I know that they've come up here, they've recognized it. So we're recognizing what the enemy is doing today. But Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you that the victory's already been won at the cross. The Bible says that you triumphed over the enemy openly at the cross, and the resurrection just put a foot on his head. And so Lord, I just thank you for that. And I pray that we get that mental picture of that mental picture of victory, that we fight from a place of victory, not a place of defeat. And so we fight this fight by faith. And Lord, I thank you that you help us overcome the spirit of Jezebel with the power of courage and the presence of faith. So Lord, I thank you that you're putting courage into these people today. God, you're putting faith. I know they all have a measure of faith because they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But God, I'm praying for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it says that the Holy Spirit has a gift of faith that he gives his people. So Lord, I'm praying for that gift of faith, that presence of faith to rest upon each one that's up here today in the name of Jesus, so that 1 John 5 verse 4 becomes a reality for them. And Lord, I pray that unlike Elijah, we would remember that this, what we're going through right now, this is a bad day, but it's not a bad life. We're actually, you gave us life, and you're the giver of life, and we have a good life. We might be going through a bad day today because we're going through a battle, but we're not going through a bad life. And so we remember the testimonies of the work that you've done through our lifetime, the ones in our past, also the ones that you've done recently. And we thank you that all things work together for our good in the end. And Lord, I encourage the exhausted today. There's people up here that are just battle weary. They're tired of fighting. God, I thank you. That's a good place to be. So, Lord, I pray that they're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Lord, encourage the exhausted. Give them rest today. Make the weak and the feeble strong with courage. And I pray in Jesus' name there would be a deep sense of purpose in all of our lives that would take us out of the prison and into the palace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to look at somebody and say, I'm going to the palace. Amen. I'm going to the palace. I'm getting out of prison today. All right. Everybody else out there, stand up. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you today, okay? I believe in the power of blessing. You guys join hands again up here at the front. I'm going to make you, we're in this thing together. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, I'm fighting on purpose. I'm fighting on purpose. Love you guys. Be blessed. Keep fighting. Fight on purpose. Fight from a place of victory. Y'all have a blessed day, blessed week. Thank you, Daddy.